Sokala Duma Radio.
You know, when an official makes a mistake, he knocks on your door. Guys, sorry, I made a mistake. It cost you points. Sorry. You don't bring back the points, but humility to say sorry. In South Africa, these guys are protected. They don't say sorry. They are not accountable. We are accountable for the results. They're not accountable. They walk away. And what's going to happen, if I have to ask? Or what has ever happened? Nothing happens. So what do? It's a lost cause. You don't talk. You just move on, because anyway, the worst thing is they gang up against you. They can gang up against you and say, oh, that one is complaining, and they can do that. I know that mentality. They can. I'm not saying they're doing. They have ability to can do that, and then this sort them out, those ones. They complain every week about us. So sometimes you have to be careful of how you say it. But so that's it. Top 8, semi-final, offside, the goal. Top 8, Cape Town City, offside. We played Bloemfontein Celtic. Did you do the Bloemfontein Celtic? In the first minute, we do the same corner kick. Did you see? And then the linesman got it right, ne? It was offside, ne? So what's the difference? Who cares? Cape Town City lifted the trophy. Who cares? Nobody cares. So you are complaining, this guy cry baby, some complain. Hey, but it is the, I don't care. Is it the fact? Is the truth? I tell the truth. All the time I tell the truth.
Sokala Duma Radio.
That's the voice of Mamelodi Sundowns coach Peter Mosimane. This was his reaction to the game against Bidvest Wits. The match ended in a 1-1 draw. Both coaches conceded after the game that Wits were the better side and probably deserved to win. The most talked about incident from the game, unfortunately, was a decision by the officials not to award an indirect free kick against Wits keeper Darren Keat, who appeared to have handled the ball outside the box. It was neck and neck, 50-50, but the call went against Mamelodi Sundowns. Now, Peter Mosimane was visibly fuming and had to be restrained by the fourth official as he appeared to lash out at the first assistant referee. After the match, coach Peter Mosimane hinted at a conspiracy against Sundowns by the officials. So, in this episode of The Big Issue, we take a deep dive into the topic and ask the question, is there really a conspiracy against Mamelodi Sundowns? Is that even possible? Who allocates which referee to which game? What is the logic behind appointing referees for matches? We even go further to ask the PSL coaches their thoughts on officiating and whether they think it's time for the introduction of the video assistant referee system. Former PSL referees Ace Ngobo and Charles Theron also provide some valuable insights on the topic.
Sokala Duma Radio.
And every week in, week out, we get in the short end of the stick. We're losing points. How do you win when match management is different every week? Week in and week out, and we're losing points.
Now, the best place to start is perhaps to speak to other coaches about their officiating in the APSA Premiership. Due to the nature of the topic and the consequences that the coaches are faced with when they express themselves about referees, I was not really surprised when this happened.
No comment, my friend. No comment. There's other people talking about it. They're the experts. Okay, thanks, mate. Have a nice day. Bye.
As you can hear, a lot of the coaches were unwilling to talk about this. In case you didn't pick it up, that was Bidvest Wits coach Gavin Hunt saying no comment. Fortunately for us, some of the coaches were comfortable to talk, particularly about whether the VAR will assist the PSL and whether or not they are for the system. So here's Clinton Larson, Owen Dagama, and coach Luke Emile.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Yeah, look, I think there's no doubt about it that technology in football is becoming inevitable to improve the accuracy and the decision making, thus also helping to elevate the standard of refereeing. But what's good is that the referee will still have the final decision, you know. But it's like more like a replay for him to, you know, to be able to make a crucial decisions.
Mm.
We saw it happening in the World Cup, and it really assisted us, and we've also seen a lot of incidents within the PSL this season where inaccurate decisions were made.
Do you think that now more than ever there's an urgent need for it in the Premier Soccer League, seeing that you mentioned, and rightfully so, that there are a lot of inaccurate decisions?
Yes, yes, most definitely. Most definitely. I think it would definitely assist the referees, you know, because sometimes incidents happen so quickly and you know, the referees are human beings and they have to then take a stance. But when they've got the assistance to sort of review it or have someone review it and give them information, then, you know, it will definitely assist in the accuracy of the decision making.
All right, coach, before I let you go, just one last one. We understand sport as it is and football as it is, that it goes one way for you this weekend and then the next weekend it goes the other way. You benefit, sometimes you lose. Do you personally get the sense that these decisions benefit other teams more than they do, or do you think that they cancel each other out throughout the course of the season?
It has not really happened that often with us, but I definitely think that it doesn't only happen specifically with certain teams. It happens across the board. I feel there have been decisions that should have gone our way, and there have been decisions that should have gone the opposition's way. It happens. So I don't think anybody gets targeted specifically. I just think it's human error. Definitely human error. The referees are human beings, and yes, they will make mistakes.
Yeah, listen, I'm pro VAR for the simple reason that there's too much at stake in football. You know, it's a multi-million rand industry, and sometimes a wrong decision can cost you dearly, whether it's to win a trophy, whether it's to finish in the top eight, or whether it's to get relegated. You know, So there's just too much at stake for us not to introduce it. You know, as much as we say there's too many stoppages, but I think if you balance things out and look at what you could lose, and rather say we can take those extra few seconds to make the right call and use the VAR. You know, so me, I'm pro VAR. You know, I don't think our officiating is at a level where we don't. I think we need it more than ever because of the inconsistency in a lot of the decision making in our officiate.
And do you think that the league perhaps would have the appetite, the league and SAFA would have the appetite to implement it?
Oh, listen, that's beyond me. It's just my opinion to say that I'm pro it, and I'm sure it's being discussed at the highest level. Whether it gets the go ahead or not is a different story, but like I said, I am all for it.
All right, Coach, we thank you very much for your thoughts.
You know, I've coached big teams in Africa. You know, I coach Vita Club in Congo. I know how it was working. I coach Amalek in Sudan, and you know very well that I made the semi-final of the Champions League. I made quarter-final with Vita Club. I made quarter-final of Confederation Cup with Design in Gabon. I know how it's working in Africa, and you know, it's not only in Africa. When you see last season in the Champions League in Europe, some decisions were taken, you know, if you remember well, Real Madrid, Juventus, Juventus, Real Madrid, and Liverpool, Bayern Munich, you know, sometimes you wonder how these decisions are taken, especially when you are frustrated, you know. And I didn't count for myself, like Coach of Reset Sam, how many decisions we had against us. For example, this season, you know, but we had a clear goal who has been denied at Polokwane City, which we should have won 0-1 at this time. We had a clear goal who has been denied against Cape Town City, also a clear penalty. If you remember last season against Sundowns, was also a clear penalty for us at the last minute. But okay, like I said, you know, because they are human beings, and they can do mistakes like a player can do a bad game, like a coach can do a bad substitution.
Probably we should benefit. Eh? I mean, they scored a penalty in Cape Town City 1-0 when the goalkeeper was never touched. They benefited. They benefited today. The goalkeeper is out of the box. They benefited. They're on top of the lock. Who cares? We keep dropping points. It's unbelievable.
Another side of the topic is the part of the appointment of referees for PSL matches. So, who is in charge of that and what is the logic behind these appointments? Are referees reprimanded when they underperform? The chairperson of the referees appointment committee at the South African Football Association is Mr. Ari Soldatus. He was not available on the phone for comment, but thankfully he responded via email to the questions that I sent to him, and here is his response to these questions. Firstly, he says, the fundamental criteria utilized in the appointment of match officials are the individual's current form, recent assessments, fitness levels, and overall refereeing ability. Recently, we have introduced numerous new and younger officials into the professional panels, and we need, based on the above criteria, to afford them an opportunity, specifically at the early stages of the season, to officiate at these fixtures as well. So generally, we assess the risk profile of the game, the recent form of the official, the levels of experience, and the individual's psychological approach as best as we are able to in effecting the appointment at this level. In response to another question, he says, yes, sir, he is the head of the referee's appointment, the chairperson of the referee's appointment at SAFA. He says that insofar as the NSL is concerned, since 2005, he has occupied that position. He goes on to say that we have an appointments committee which assigns officials to these competitions. The ultimate responsibility therefore vests in him. That is Mr. Ari Soldatus. He ensures that which officials go to which game based on the criteria that I've already mentioned. And his email goes on to say that there is indeed a principle of rotation, and we endeavor our utmost and to adhere to the general understanding that there should be at least an interval of 2 to 3 games prior to an official being assigned the same club. This is not always possible, however, due to the heavily congested fixture list, injuries, and the inability of many match officials to secure time off from their respective employers. In our application of the principles set above, we may from time to time, albeit infrequently, vary from this principle. This answers the question of whether some match officials are officiating in one game all the time. He says that they try to bring a 2 to 3 game break in between before they assign the same match official to the same club. However, there are other circumstances as well that unfortunately forces them to employ one official for the same team due to the fact that the guys are not full-time referees. And he addresses that finally by saying, matters would indeed improve considerably if the professional referees were to be introduced, where our officials only focus solely and specifically on their game, their fitness level, and their overall application. That is the answers that were provided to us by Mr. Ari Soldatus, who is the chairperson of the referee appointment committee, and we thank him very much for that response. I also spoke to Mr. Tenda Mashekwa, who is the referee's head of department at the South African Football Association, and here is what he had to say about the VAR matter and the standard of officiating.
No, it doesn't have to stay like that. That is why we are doing something in order to address this poor type of performance that we are witnessing now. Now, the point is there will be an intervention program that will be happening probably by the weekend, because it's the FIFA weekend, where some of the major officials will have to be held with regards to decision making. So it shows that we are taking this matter seriously, that this type of performance should not recur.
Is it now then time to introduce the VAR, the video assistant referee, to assist the officials? And how far are those discussions within the organization, SAFA?
These are discussions that will have to be taken up, or that are being taken up by at the Joint Liaison Committee. We cannot as staff do it alone. We need to do it with our special member, that is the PSL. So they also need to buy into this idea. But yes, VAR has helped a lot in quite a number of decision-making processes. So it will not be far-fetched for us to say, let's go the VAR way. But there are discussions that are going on as we speak.
All right. And if you can just give the audience a sense of whether or not a lot of people within SAFA are nudging towards the VAR side, or is it still unclear at the moment?
As I have indicated, I cannot come up with a specific time frame, But when you say that the majority of people at SAFA are against the VAR, that is not true, because whatever is discussed, the outcome, it does not represent an individual, it represents the association. So when we say that SAFA are looking at the issue of the implementation of VAR, we are talking of SAFA, not specific groups of people that are in SAFA. In fact, we are speak in use.
All right, and I know that you've touched on it a little bit. I would like you to be broad in a sense. So what does SAFA do to ensure that officials improve on their past mistakes? Is there a weekly program, a monthly program to ensure that people, the referees improve? And is there any punishment system that is there to ensure that whoever is not performing well accounts and perhaps is taken off the roster of refereeing?
Thank you for the question. The point is, if the review committee sees that there is a very gross mistake that has been performed, or that has been, that has been performed by the referee, what they do is they come up with their recommendations. Now, some of the recommendations would say, let specific official get help from a seasoned instructor. I can just give an example. You would have a seasoned instructor like Mr. Enoch Mulit, Mr. Jerome Damon. So these are some of the people that we refer those specific referees with some decision-making deficiencies to. So we are doing something along those lines. Now, if we have a bigger group, that is where we will need them to come together so that all of them at once would be addressed by our instructors in order to improve on the mistakes which they will have made.
All right. So you would say that the system is working. Over the years, you've implemented it. It's a system that you trust and you wish to continue with in that sense.
Yes, it has worked over the years. You would remember that there are some of the referees who made some gross mistakes in the past, and they were referred to these specific instructors that I'm talking about. They are throughout the country, because our panel is also composed of referees from different provinces. Now, you would see that this specific program, the intervention program, has worked well, and such mistakes did not recur when those specific referees performed.
The Sokala Duma newspaper is out every Wednesday for only R3.90. Don't forget to pick it up. There are very great interviews there. You can check out Vincent Buller's interview with Vianney Joni, our own editor, as he talks about his journey at Orlando Pirates. It's going to be a fascinating one. You are going to enjoy it.
I don't know, guys. We in this country, it would be nice to talk to the referees behind closed doors, us, without you guys. It would be nice, eh? You say, now, okay, show me there. So what are you saying on that? Was it offside? Was it not offside? People benefit. Benny benefited. He won the cup. People will say sour grapes. Is it a fact? Yes. True? Yes. Am I right? And he's also complaining, remember? To say, but now you've got a trophy, guys. He's got a trophy. Who cares? It's history. Vets, they got a penalty. The first goal was not a penalty. On Mare, was he touched? No touched. The first goal. We can say maybe they score the second one. When it's one goal, when it's 0-0, it's on the edge. Anybody can win. When it's 1-0, you have an advantage. 2-0 is almost done. Let's be honest. You know. So, Vets benefited last week. That's a tough world of being a coach. Yeah? You got to go over there. Keep your emotions. Be a gentleman. You say something. PSL is on top of you. You know. I've already received letters. Within 5 days later. 5 days.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Well, for you and my interest as well, we need to check the facts and take a quick look at who has refereed at Mamelodi Sundowns games this season. In all seven league matches that they've played in, on the 4th of August, they played against Kaizer Chiefs and the referee was Victor Hlungwane. On the 7th of August, against Polokwane City, the referee was Philip Dinyane. On the 22nd of August, Phephelani Ndaba was the referee. And on the 16th of September, Victor Gomes was the referee. Kulasandra Konqo was the referee in the next game on the 19th of September against Golden Arrows, whilst Welcome Setloboku was the referee in that game against Bloemfontein Celtic that had a disallowed goal. And Mr. Nasif Julius was the unfortunate match official officiating in the game between Bistvis Verts and Mamelodi Sundowns on the 7th. Of October. I say unfortunate because of what happened after the game. Those were the referees, all different referees, all different match officials officiating in Mamelodi Sundowns matches in the league so far this season.
If you start talking, you're doing other things, you'll be called for disciplinary action. And when you say the way it is, the whole South Africa, those who don't like Sundowns, they say Apito is a crybaby. So we should just keep quiet and these things should happen every week to us and we're losing points. We control the game and we did well. It's just sad because Lebo scored the goal. We won the game. It's sad, but what can you do? You know, when we lost on the semi-final of MTN 8, Cape Town City won with an offside goal. They scored in Cape Town with an offside goal. We are out of the top 8. They won the cup. That's the way it is. It's true. It is a fact. It's true. We scored in Pretoria, we should have won. That goal was offside. And Anthony Lafour was onside. And that ball on the other side, the guy was 2-3 meters offside.
So far, we've covered this topic from the coaches and administrators' perspective. What about the views from the former referees? Ace Nobo and Charles Theron are vastly experienced gentlemen who have officiated in some of the biggest matches here in South Africa and on the continent. So let's listen to what they had to say about the matter at hand.
Look, it's very simple. You know, soccer in this country at that level and the PSL is professional, am I right?
Mm.
Very professional. The coaches are employed, they have a contractual basis. And they employ the teams, they employ the backstop management, and they've been run, unfortunately, by the administrators in referee circles that is at best part amateur, not even semi-professional. So there's obviously legitimate concerns regarding coaches in various spheres regarding the officiating circles. Look, this is not new. 5-10 years ago, when I was on the South African PSL panel, a gentleman. Which a gentleman that obviously everyone will know, Aysen Corbel, put down a blueprint how the merit system should be working for referees, an internal referee system, because you have 3 or 4 chapters almost if you want to improve refereeing generally in South Africa. You need money. The PSL's got the money, or they have at least a certain budget they can work with. You need the staff that has the mandate to change things for the better. And you need a merit system, and that could be various things. I mean, simple things and ideas that was shot down even by when I offered it was the internal ranking system among the referees.
Mm.
You know, if referees compete among themselves because it's a ranking system and you have, say, 2 pools of referees, you have the elite referees and you've got the ones that semi-contracted by SAFA, and everyone wants to be on the elite panel and there's internal competition, then itself stands to good reason people will up their standard. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds logical.
It's very logical. It's not reinventing the wheel. I mean, I've spent last year 4 months in Portugal. I was in Spain. I went to Italy. I went to Germany. And I've got some friends in the referee circles. And, you know, their referee system is very simple. They're not reinventing the wheel. You need to have a mandate to change the people. You have a small management team, preferably independent from the mother body, but they can sit as advisory. Because at the end of the day, the PSLs run, their product has been either dished or mismanaged, according to a lot of people's views. And the only way to increase professionalism is everyone on the park. When you watch a match, everyone on the park, there's a professional. The players, the technical backroom staff. The only one that's even not even a part-time professional, but a semi-amateur, is the referee. You know, we put up a system currently for referees. And I'm speaking in general because this is not news. We've been mentioning this for many years. A lot of referees have mentioned it. Draft forward when we were there to change it. We have a referee administrators that's there almost for life and the jobs. You've got the politicos and your administrators that is more interested in the cult of the job description instead of a meritus or a transparent legacy they want to leave behind. None of the match officials that administered the referees in my time, barring some notable exceptions, left any transparent legacy behind. How to have a blueprint for refuge to be promoted, or the blueprint for refuge, how many years they must spend, for argument's sake, on the PSR panel before they can even become into recognition for the FIFA panel. But none of that. All other countries had that. There's nothing new. You understand what I'm saying? It's nothing new. The only thing is there's a lack of political will. Now, we can speculate with administrators and politics at the end of the day, but DAFA is not the right body to run this. I mean, the PSL was already asking in 2008, if memory serves correctly, in essence, give us the referees as a professional product. You can sit on an advisory board, but we want to fully develop them. We want to offer them full-time contracts for the season. We want to have the right to from the pool to hire and fire those that we think doesn't bring up the standard. That's the only way how you lift the standard.
Hello?
Thank you very much for joining us on Sokala Duma Radio, Mr. Ngobo. Well, what have you made of the level of officiating this season in the APSA Premiership?
It could be better. We have been on a roller coaster ride. You know, you would have some seasons where you have the referees collectively shining and producing stellar performances. Mm. And then you would have seasons where you would feel that the level of performance has dropped drastically overall. Of course, you would still have your shining stars on an individual basis, but again, even with them, the levels of consistency would not be where we want them to be. But I believe that, generally speaking, we are still high up there amongst some of the best refereeing countries in the world. Of course, given the fact that South Africa is a strong economy, a strong football nation, we should be performing better than we currently are on the referee front.
Do you think that perhaps the high-profile matches give a negative or an obscured sense of or a false sense of reality that the referees, because I tend to agree with you that for the most part, the referees are in the high percentages, like 70-80% in terms of correct decisions. But do you think that the high profile matches give a negative light into the refereeing as a whole in the country?
Well, high profile would probably refer to the most followed club.
Yeah,
which
absolutely
means there are more eyeballs focusing on the match, and by extension, more eyeballs focusing on the performance of the referee. And emotions run a lot higher when you have the likes of Sundowns playing against Chiefs playing against Pirates and the other bigger clubs. So solely attributable to the fact that those clubs have a bigger following, and therefore there will be more people speaking about incidents where either side feels that the referee was not up to scratch on the day. So the national discourse would be at higher decibels of noise than if it were just teams that are followed by a few thousand people.
Mm. But overall, though, one of the things that I spoke to Mr. Arisal Soldatos as well about this topic that we are exploring, and he mentioned the criteria, because what we wanted to know is what is the logic behind the appointment, who decides which official goes to which game. And one of the things he mentioned was the profile of a game and trying to ensure that they introduce the younger referees and trust them into the bigger followed clubs to ensure that they get that game time experience in those kind of matches. What is your view on that? Do you think that perhaps they should be bred into the smaller, lesser clubs first before they are thrust into the big teams?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that you do need to blood in new talent. And the best platforms to do so are the bigger platforms. No, because you need to make absolutely sure that you're not throwing this young man into the deep end. He's got to have matches under the belt. He's got to rack up a number of notches in terms of experience, the number of years on the panel, because it's not only about him performing at the topmost level at that point in time, when all that he's doing is your NFD matches and your lower category after premiership matches. He has got to be able to say, well, I am going to referee an Orlando Pirates match against Kaizer Chiefs. I have refereed these clubs for several matches when they were playing against smaller clubs. So you can't just take a young referee and trust him into the center of FNB Stadium with 90,000 spectators at the stadium and 20 million people watching the match and expect him not to succumb to the pressure that comes with. Because, look, we all love saying all clubs are the same, all matches are the same, but in reality, when you referee a match, when there's a man and his dog on the stand, it can't be the same as refereeing a match when there's 90,000 spectators and the match is live and watched by 20 million people. So it's chalk and cheese. So we must be able to say, much as we want to blood in young talent, but we must be careful not to lose that talent because we threw them into the deep end early on in their career without them having gathered all the necessary experience and confidence.
All right, I'm tempted, before we go to the VAR question, I'm really, really tempted to ask about one recent incident, but particularly my thought process about it. So if you had seen the Darren Kitt incident where he appeared to have handled the ball outside the box and the indirect free kick, you will correct me if I'm wrong, was not given. My thought process behind that, and I've been sharing this with the colleagues as well, I just want to hear your views on it as well, that if that, when it happens, as it happens, I'm more sympathetic to the first official, to the first mesh official, closer to the coaches, to the Sundowns bench, because if you, in real time, if you give 10 different people that footage, you would get that 6 people would say he's inside the box and 4 people would say he's outside the box. It's neck and neck, really. It's 50-50. You really want to be more sympathetic to the official. So it's not a right or a wrong decision, other than the tactical aspect or the technical aspect of it being a wrong decision.
You see, we've got to understand that referees are human. Referees do commit errors. And generally speaking, those errors fall under 2 categories. It will be a technical error, as you refer to it, where the referee does not apply the law correctly. He misinterprets the law itself. The other category would be an error of judgment. Whatever the cause may be, perhaps he was too far away, perhaps he adopted a poor angle which does not give him proper visibility of the incident. But an error of judgment is an error that derives from the referee simply being human. He was not fast enough to be close to where the action was and therefore thought that the incident happened outside the penalty area. And in instances like that, it would generally be the assistant referee running the line that guides the referee on whether or not the incident is inside. Because when you are running behind play, and most often it is impossible for a referee in quick balls like that to be in line with the ball. So he would rely on the assistant referee. You can't blame anybody for committing a human error based on error of judgment. At that moment, the referee is convinced that the ball is either inside or it is outside. Allow him that space to take the decision with conviction based on what he saw at that moment. However, what becomes inexcusable is when a referee commits that error based on a misinterpretation of the law. Mm. That's inexcusable. That tells you that the referee does not read his laws, he does not practice, he does not focus. That's inexcusable. And those two categories, we need to separate them. Let's be more forgiving on referees, owing to them being human when they commit errors of judgment, and come down hard on them when they fall under the other category of technical errors where they misinterpret the laws.
Because they think that it's not a foul when it's a foul, it's not a penalty when it's a penalty. But I really appreciate that input, Bryce. Before we let you go, the video assistant referee system, for you, in your opinion, and based on your experiences and what you've observed, do you think that the PSL is now ready to implement it, at least at the Absa Premiership level? Do you think that there's an urgent need for it?
I pray daily that the VAR could be entrenched by FIFA as a piece of technology and system that can only be utilized in tournaments rather than being universally applicable in league matches and cup competitions within the league. If you're having a Cup of Nations tournament in Africa, by all means, apply the VAR. You have your UEFA, apply the VAR. You have your World Cup, apply the VAR. But keep it away from domestic league competitions, like the league and the cup competitions, for the simple reason that football, the world over, is by far the most accessible sport. As long as you have even one foot, not even both feet, we've seen amputees playing football.
Mm.
As long as you have rubble lying somewhere, you can collect plastic bags and roll them up, tie them up, make a football and kick it around with makeshift posts made from thrown away sticks of wood. It's the most accessible. It can be played by the poorest of the poor. Now, when you introduce technology, which is very expensive, what you are in fact doing is to create football for the rich and football for the poor. Because you can't apply VAR. I come from a village. I live in a village. I'm taking this call now, watching kids out there playing in an open field using two bricks as posts. They're playing football. They are loving it.
Mm.
Can you apply VAR in those matches? No. Can you apply VAR in the ABC Motsepe League? No. Can you even apply it in the NFB? No, it is prohibitively expensive. Now, you don't want to apply a system which is applicable for rich leagues and not applicable for poor leagues. I would never want the sport that made me the person that I am to be divided between the rich and the poor. It's a universally accessible sport. Keep that thing, beautiful as it is, usable only in international tournaments.
All right, Mr. Ngobo, we thank you. Thank you very much for your time and your input. Certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
It's always a pleasure, my brother. Thank you.
It's been a jam-packed show with so much to unpack. The original question was, is there a conspiracy against Mamelodi Sundowns? Is that even possible with the manner in which professional football is set up? In order to answer that question, we needed to speak to the biggest role players in officiating in the country. And it's quite clear that it's not really easy to prove that there is a conspiracy against any side. Luke Emile, for example, counted the amount of instances his side, his Free State Stars team, were on the wrong end of the decision making. We tried to get coach Benny McCarthy as well, because recently his team were on the wrong end of decision making, incorrect decision making from the officials. Coach Clinton Larson reminded us that the stakes are higher and that referees are only human after all. What is clear though is that the match officials do make mistakes, and that perhaps it's time to aid them using the video assistant referee system. In conclusion, there is also a valid claim. I say valid because really it is a valid claim that coach Peter Musimane, like his Manchester United counterpart coach Jose Mourinho, interviews to deflect attention away from his team's flaws. He certainly doesn't take kindly to his tactics being questioned by journalists or any suggestion that his team were outplayed in any game, particularly if it's a draw or a loss. Could this then be a ploy after all? Or is there really a conspiracy against his team? My name is Nkululeko Ngewu, and this has been The Big Issue. This is Sokala Duma Radio.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.